Okay, first of all, the Bible says many things. The Bible has a lot of facts. Facts are facts. Facts are true. Some facts that we all know are that Jesus came in the flesh. Jesus was crucified. He died on the cross. He was buried. He rose again. He's ascended. He's now seated at the right hand of the Father in the highest place. And he's coming again. These are facts that don't change. And then there are promises. Now, promises, a promise is not a doctrine, but it's something that the Holy Spirit has shone his light on, something that the Holy Spirit has opened up to us personally, such that it becomes real, so real that we can hold on to it. We hold on to it in faith, by faith. And we know that faith is the realization, the substance of things that we hope for, the evidence or the confidence, if you like, of things not yet seen. In other words, faith sees as real that which has not yet been revealed to our senses, to our sight. Hebrews 11. I'm going to share with you just a couple of promises, a couple of things that the Lord has focused on for me. They're probably both very well-known verses. The first one, the Lord shall preserve, protect, keep, guard me from all evil. He cares for my soul. He watches over and protects my goings out and my comings in. Very personal for me. The second one is one that I had when I was a very baby Christian. And again, it's very special to me. It's from Acts chapter 16. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. You and your household. That's the important bit for me. And your household. We can pray the word of God. Do pray the word of God. There are promises there for you, for us, and for others, for people we know. You may like to make Psalm 91 a prayer to the Lord. There are rich promises in this psalm. And the promises are connected to and depending on verses 1 and 2. I've divided this psalm into four parts. The first part is verse 1, which I feel is the main focus. And it's addressed to he who. What? The second part is, again, one verse, verse 2. And it's where the psalmist, the writer of this psalm, speaks of himself. And he begins by saying, I will say. What? The third part is from verse 3 to verse 13. And here the psalmist, the writer of the psalm, is assuring his readers of what follows from verses 1 and 2. And the last part, part 4, is from verse 14 to 16, which is God's response. So we begin then with verse 1. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. He who lives, who sits in quiet, who sits still, who makes his place, who settles down in the secret place. The secret place? By the way, I'm reading from the New King James Version. He settles down in the secret place. What's the secret place? Where's that? Well, David, in Psalm 31, verse 20, was in lots of trouble. He's often in lots of trouble. And he's crying out. But he finds the answer. And he says of God, he says about God, talking and speaking of those who trust him. He says, you, God, he's speaking about God, you shall hide them in the secret place of your presence. Of your presence. The beauty of the presence of God. To find that place, that secret place of God's presence. So he who dwells, he who makes his place, who sits quietly, and I love this word, tarries in the presence of the Lord. Tarries suggests like a lingering. I don't want to leave. I don't want to go away. I want to stay here in your presence, Lord. In the presence of the Most High, the Supreme God, the God in the highest. He shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. He who makes his place in, who takes his place, who makes his place, who settles in the presence of God, shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. He will stay there. He will continue. He will remain under the shade, under the shadow, under the protection of the Almighty, the All-Powerful, the All-Sufficient God. That's their place. That's their place under God's shade, in his protection. Jesus spoke about abiding, just a little bit more about this word, abide. Jesus said, abide in me and I in you, from John chapter 15. Now we never have to struggle to get into Jesus. We're not told to get there. Jesus doesn't tell us to get there. We're told to stay there. Abide in me, Jesus says. Stay there, remain there, to remain where we've been placed, where God has put us. It's all of grace. It's nothing that we can do. We can't bring ourselves to abide in Jesus. We can't get into Jesus. But God has placed us there. God has made us who were dead in trespasses and sin, in which we once walked. He's made us alive together with Christ, raised us up together, and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. God has put us there. That's in Ephesians chapter 2. And there's another verse in 1 Corinthians where it says, of him, of God, we are in Christ Jesus. We're in. That's a fact. That's a fact. And Jesus tells us to stay there. He says, abide in me, stay in me, remain in me, continue in me. He says, abide in me. That's my part. And then he says, and I in you. That's his part. And he has given us his Holy Spirit to stay with us forever. And he's told us he will never, ever leave us. Reading this precious word that we have in our hands, spending time in his word, we can receive daily revelation, daily fresh revelation of God's great love, of his mercy, of his grace, of his power, of his beauty, the beauty of our Saviour. And this causes us to worship him, brings us into his presence, worshipping him in the beauty of holiness, in the beauty of holiness, to tarry there, desiring to stay there. His presence is the birthplace of the breakthrough. James mentioned breakthrough. His presence, when we come into his presence, it's the birthplace of the breakthrough. The writer of Psalm 73 found this to be true. He was very much concerned about the violence that he saw all around him, of the evil and the wickedness of the acts of ungodly men. Until, he says, until I went into the sanctuary of God, until I went into the presence of God, and then I understood their end. Coming into that secret place, coming, dwelling in the sacred, in the secret place of his presence, in the presence of, again, the Most High. He's the Supreme God. He's the God in the highest. Coming into his presence, we see more clearly. We get understanding. We get breakthroughs. And we shall abide. What a lovely promise. We'll stay. We'll stay under the protection of the Almighty, of the All-Powerful, the All-Sufficient God. And then we come to Psalm 2, where the psalmist says, I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress. He's my strength. He's my stronghold. My God, in Him I will trust. I will trust in this God who's my strength. And then we come to these promises, which begin with the word surely in verse 3. I'm going to read them, but I'm going to personalize them. I'm going to say me and my. And in a minute, I'm going to read them again. And I'd like you to say them as well. Actually, perhaps the first time I'll say us. Surely he shall deliver us from the snare of the fowler. He shall rescue us from the trap of the fowler, the one who wants to entangle us, and from the perilous pestilence, maybe we could say the dreaded disease. He shall cover us with his feathers, and under his wings we shall take refuge. We can nestle under his wings. The obvious picture of is a little baby chick under the wings of the mother hen. All right, his word, his faithfulness shall be my shield and my buckler, my armor, my shield. And then he says, we will not be afraid of the terror by night, of the deadly disease or whatever it is, the terror that comes at nighttime. He says, we won't be afraid. Nor of the arrow that flies by day. An arrow pierces and wounds, but we won't be afraid of it. Nor of the pestilence again that walks in darkness, nor of the destruction that lays waste at noonday. Any kind of desolation, destruction, he says, we won't be afraid of it. And then he says in verse 7, 1,000 may fall at your side, 1,000 may fall at our side, and 10,000 at our right hand, but it won't come near us. It will not touch us. Only with our eyes shall we look and see the reward of the wicked. Remember, the other person in 73 was concerned about all the wicked. When he came into the presence of God, he saw their reward. So only with our eyes shall we look and see the reward of the wicked. Because we have made the Lord, who is the psalmist's refuge, even the Most High, our dwelling place, no evil shall befall us. No wickedness shall touch us, shall come our way. Nor shall any plague come near our dwelling, our home, our family, our dwelling. For he, God, I'm going to read this from another version if I can find it. From New Living Translation. For he will order his angels to protect us wherever we go. Verse 12, they will hold us up with their hands so we won't even hurt our feet on a stone. We will trample upon lions and cobras, upon anything that's evil. We will crush fierce lions and serpents under our feet. I think the summary is that no weapon formed against us will prosper. You've probably got different versions from me, but never mind. I think it would be really good if we read together, and it doesn't matter what your versions are, from verse 3 to verse 13, and make it say I and my and me and mine. Shall we do that? Are you up for it? Right. I'm going to use my version, but please use yours. 1, 2, 3. Surely he shall deliver me from the snare of the fowler and from the pestilence. He shall cover me with his feathers, and under his wings I shall take refuge. His truth, my shield and buckler. I shall not be afraid of the terror by night, nor of the arrow that flies by day, nor of the pestilence that walks in darkness, nor of the destruction that lies waste at noonday. 1,000 may fall at my side, and 10,000 at my right hand, but it shall not come near me. Only with my eyes shall I look and see the reward of the wicked. Because I have made the Lord my refuge, even the Most High my dwelling place, no evil shall befall me, nor shall any plague come near my dwelling. For he will give his angels charge over me, to keep me in all my ways. In their hands they shall bear me up, lest I dash my foot against a stone. I shall tread upon the lion and the cobra, the young lion and the serpent I will trample underfoot. Then comes God's response. Because he has set his love upon me. I'm going to use the Amplified version here. Because he has set his love upon me, therefore will I deliver him. I will set him on high because he knows and understands my name. He has a personal knowledge of my mercy, my love, and my kindness. He trusts and relies on me, knowing I will deliver him and honor him. With long life, I will satisfy him and show him my salvation. That's God's promise to us, to you, who dwell, who make our home, who sit quietly in the presence of the Most High, the Supreme God, who found that secret place of his presence. And his promise again, you shall abide. You shall continue, you'll stay, you will be always under the shadow of the Almighty. That's your place, that's my place. The Almighty, all-powerful God will protect us, will protect you. Just makes me think, because I love trees, of the oak tree. The oak tree has a huge canopy. And I picture the oak tree in the middle of a field, and it's a hot, sunny day. There's heat all around. And I'm sitting at the bottom, at the foot of the trunk of the oak tree, under the shade, under the protection from the heat of all that's going on around. That's what it's like. That's what it's like, abiding in his protection. Like the writer of the psalm, like the psalmist, we can say of the Lord, he's my refuge, he's my shelter, he's my hope, he's my stronghold. I will trust him. I will set my love upon him, and I'll trust him. I'll trust him. God loves us. God loves you. You're finding a little quickening inside your spirit. It's the Holy Spirit wooing you. I love this word, wooing you. If you'd like to respond in any way at all, perhaps simply to tell God, I love you. I trust you. I want to trust you. But perhaps sometimes it's not so easy in particular situations, but I want to trust you. Or if you feel the need for encouragement, or perhaps are thirsty for more of his presence, thirsty for his presence and would like prayer, please do come and receive. Thank you.